Pray with me. Father, we just thank you for your word and thank you for the Spirit of the Lord that's in this place to open the eyes of our understanding, to cause us to see truth. And Father, I ask for your help this morning, that your Spirit would use me today. Lord, that the words that I speak would be your words, Spirit and life, life-changing words. I pray, Father, that each and every person would hear what the Spirit is saying to them today. In Jesus' name, I thank you for it. Amen. Amen. We're continuing our series, The Lord is My Shepherd. And just as we have done the last 2 weeks, we want to endeavor to learn this passage of Scripture, not only so that we can quote it, but so that we can live it out and experience it each and every day of our life. So today we're going to add a third verse, and I know that most of you probably all already have this memorized, but just humor me this morning, and we're going to quote it together. And if you don't know it yet, well, plan on knowing it. Plan on learning it, because you can do this. It's not that hard. In fact, I hope that when you say this, you will say this as a declaration about your life, all right? Say it with me. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. So we're going to go a little further today. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Amen. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. This psalm is attributed to David, and certainly David understood the relationship between a shepherd and sheep because he himself had been a shepherd. But that kind of relationship with the Lord was not exclusively for David. It is for all of us. Jesus calls himself the Good Shepherd in John chapter 10. In Hebrews chapter 13 and 20, it refers to the Lord as the great shepherd of the sheep. And so all of us need to learn and understand the principles of this passage in Psalm 23, that these principles are for all of us. The same truths that applied to David apply to our lives. We can know him as the one who leads and guides us every day, as the one who watches over us, just as a shepherd watches over the sheep. We're talking about the Good Shepherd, the Great Shepherd, how capable he is, how trustworthy he is to take care of us. If we will just allow him to lead and guide us, he can take care of all of our needs. He will lead us to a place of contentment and peace, green pastures and still waters, contentment and peace. You know what? Sheep don't really know what's best for them, and neither do we. Sometimes we think we do, and I want you to understand, we certainly should pray about the things that trouble us. We bring our request to God instead of being anxious. Certainly the Scripture tells us to do that. But so many believers are always trying to get God to do what they want instead of trusting God to take care of them. And I want you to know, He knows what you need. Jesus said, you don't have to worry. Your heavenly Father knows the things that you have need of. And as we seek His kingdom and His righteousness, He said that He would add all these things to us. that place, the green pastures, the still waters. It is a place of contentment and peace where our needs are met, where He is taking care of us. But hear me now. It is a place where there can be a restoration of our soul. You see, so many people in this world are constantly running and going and trying to get and trying to take care of all their own needs. And let me tell you something. They never get to that place where they can really rest and find rest for their souls. Living in this society where people feel so much stress, they're weary and worn out and burdened, and they're under pressure all the time. Matthew 11, 28 through 30, Jesus says, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. My yoke is easy, my burden is light." He's not just talking about rest for the body. I'm telling you, you can go on vacation for 2 weeks, but not find rest for the soul. Oh, how we need that rest for the soul, where we are refreshed and renewed and restored. Jesus says that if we'll come to Him, learn from Him, we can find rest for our soul. We don't have to struggle on our own and bear the load of life. I know we all have responsibilities, but you see, He can lift the burden. He can take the stress off of you and restore your soul. In John 10, 14, Jesus said that He knows His sheep. He knows us better than we know ourselves. He knows when we're hurting. He knows when we are stressed. And He knows when we are struggling underneath the load of life. And I want you to hear me now. He knows how to restore us to health. Now, I'm not talking about physical health right now. He certainly does that. But I'm talking about health of our soul, that He restores my soul. In 3 John verse 2, it says, "Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health just as your soul prospers." You know what? We all want to prosper and be in health, but it's so important that also our soul prospers. You know, when people prosper financially, but their soul isn't prospering, they're headed for trouble. And when your soul is not doing well, sooner or later, it will show up in your health. We all, at times, need our soul to be restored. So many in our world are on antidepressants just to make it through the day. I need the soul restored. Many are on anti-anxiety medication just so they can cope. Many are taking sleeping pills because they just can't ever rest. And please don't misunderstand me. If you're struggling with one of these issues, one of these areas, let me tell you, we all need the Lord to restore our soul. But I just want you to understand that there is an answer, that the Lord can give you joy. He can restore your joy. He can restore your peace. He can restore your sleep. I love this verse in Psalm 4:8. It says, "I will both lie down in peace and sleep. For you alone, O Lord, make me to dwell in safety." How wonderful to be able to put your head on the pillow at night without a care in the world. You know how you cannot have a care in the world? Because you're trusting the shepherd to take care of you. Amen. That whatever's going on, whatever problems, you don't have to worry about it. You're in the care of the shepherd. But he wants to restore our soul. I'm telling you, our souls need to be restored. It's universal because all of us go through things that affect our souls. All of us go through heartache. Hurt is one of the things that's universal in this world, some more than others, but we all go through heartache. David himself, who wrote this psalm, was a man that went through so much heartache, family tragedy of all kinds. You know, when we read the story of David and Goliath, you know, we just like to start right in on the good part about how he ran down and killed that giant with a stone, a sling and a stone. But if you back up in the story, you'll see that one of the first things that we learn about David is that when the prophet came to his father's house to anoint a new king, they got all the brothers there, all the sons there, except David. They just left him out in the field. Later, when his father sent him to take food to his brothers, when David got there, they falsely accused him. They said, "You're here for the wrong reasons." They gave him a hard time. I'm just telling you, not everything was perfect in David's life as he's growing up and becoming a young man. Later, after David had killed Goliath and there was a reward that was promised that he would be given King Saul's daughter to marry, Michal. But Michal grew to despise David. And later on, she was given to another man. I'm just telling you that David knew what it was to have the heartache of an unhappy home. He went through that. David knew one of the greatest tragedies of life as he had an infant son who was sick and he prayed and fasted, but the child died. Later on, he had two grown sons who were both killed at one time or another. And when Absalom died, he said, "I wished it would have been me." I'm just telling you that David had so much heartache in his life. In fact, enough for 10 lives. But he said, "He restores my soul." I'm telling you that the Lord can do the same thing for us. We all go through hurts and we all have experienced those things. As I said, some more than others. But when you've gone through a tragedy or some great battle, your soul can be damaged, but He restores. You see, divorce can leave a hole in your soul. Whether you're a husband or a wife, or if you're a child that went through divorce, it can leave a hole in your soul. But let me tell you something. The Lord can restore. He can make your soul whole again. There are many in this day and time that have been through some kind of physical abuse or sexual abuse, and it damages the soul. It hurts the soul deep down. But the Lord can heal that. He can restore your soul. Society will say, "No, it will always affect you from now on." I'm telling you, He can restore. Yes. He's able to do that. There's many that have served in the military and have seen things or experienced things that have damaged their soul. The Lord can restore. He restores my soul. He can make your soul new again. Jesus said in Luke 4:18 that He was sent to heal the brokenhearted. The book of Isaiah chapter 53 tells us that He bore our griefs and He carried our sorrows. In Jeremiah 30:17, He says, "I will restore health to you and heal you of all your wounds." What wonderful promises we have from the Word of God that He not only heals our bodies, but He heals our souls. To restore means to bring back to life or to return to original condition. And I'm telling you that We need that in our souls. Where there's been heartache and damage, hurt in our life, oh, we need the Lord to heal us, to return our soul back to original condition. Another reason our soul needs to be restored is the wear and tear of life. Things just happen. It's just part of life. You know, it's not always a big thing, but we all deal with conflict and we all go through stressful situations. We all have disappointments and we all have to deal with that. David himself had all kinds of conflict. In fact, if you read about the life of David, it seems like he just was almost always having to deal with some conflict. We all deal with life that way. And yet David said, "He restores my soul." There were times when he was distraught. There were times when he was discouraged. But he said things like, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name." Listen, he was talking to his soul, "Bless the Lord, O my soul." I'm telling you, David got his soul restored. But you know, life can just wear and tear you down, and it can change you. Like running water erodes soil, life can erode your soul. Life can just erode away your joy. Life can just erode away your faith, where you just, over time, you become cynical and unbelieving. It's one of the ways that we lose that childlike quality of just being able to believe. And I'm not talking about that we should be gullible, but I'm talking about that we should always have that faith and trust to be able to expect God to do miracles, to be able to expect God to do anything. And somehow life can just erode away that childlike faith and trust. And we get cynical. Sometimes life can just erode away your drive and your passion. Our soul needs to be restored, our strength renewed, so we have faith to expect and believe. Our souls need to be restored because all of us have sinned. Well, it's not that fun to talk about, but we all know that we've all sinned. The Bible tells us that very plainly. And sin takes a toll on the soul. We can deny it, but the truth is that a guilty conscience is hard to bear. It weighs heavy on you. And oftentimes in the culture we live in, we try to blame or we try to justify, but the guilt is still there. There's only one way to deal with that guilt, and that is to confess to the Lord and to receive His forgiveness and His cleansing. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. We need to understand that sin does take a toll. In fact, in James 1:5, it says that sin, when it is full grown, it brings forth death, and it certainly can bring death in our lives. We've all seen the lives that have been destroyed by drug addiction or alcohol. But we need to understand that it's not always just the damage that we see on the outside. There's a damage that happens in the soul. Innocence lost. The heart is hardened. Hebrews warns us not to allow our hearts to be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. You know, sometimes people say, "Oh, well, what I'm doing doesn't hurt anybody." It hurts you. Even if it doesn't hurt anybody else, it hurts you. There's a deceitfulness about sin that causes the heart to become hard. The soul needs to be restored. And he promises that he'll restore us if we turn to him. When David sinned against the Lord, it weighed so heavy on him. And Psalm 51, there's a prayer of his repentance and contrition. And I just want to read a few of the verses to you. Psalm 51, verse 8 through 12, he says, "Make me hear joy and gladness, that the bones you have broken may rejoice." You see, that guilt was so heavy upon him. Listen, the Lord didn't literally break his bones, but that conviction, it was so heavy on him that he was praying that the Lord would restore the gladness and the joy. He said, "Hide your face from my sins and blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence, and do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and uphold me by your generous spirit." Like David, we need to ask the Lord to restore, to create in us a clean heart, renew within us a right spirit, to restore that joy of our salvation. And I'm just telling you that we all have sinned. And we all, at times, need the Lord to restore our soul. Sometimes, just being in the presence of the Lord can restore you. See, just being with the one that restores all things, just being with the one who is life, being with the one who is love, being with the healer, just being with him, being in his presence, sometimes will restore your souls. You just spend time with the shepherd as you're walking along the way with him. He can heal you. He speaks to us. The word that we need to hear. He knows exactly what we need. In Luke chapter 24, it tells about two disciples that were walking on the road to Emmaus. And this is after the death and resurrection of Jesus. They were there. They knew that he was crucified, but they didn't know that he was risen from the dead. And so as they walked along the way, they were sad. They were discouraged. They were distraught. They didn't realize that it was Jesus, but he came and he began to open the scriptures to them and talk to them along the way. Later, when he broke bread, they realized who he was and he vanished. And then they said to each other, they said, "Did not our hearts burn within us as we walked along the way and he opened to us the scriptures?" And here's what I want you to see, that Jesus turned them around. You see, their hearts began to burn within them. They were discouraged and down, but now their hearts were on fire. And they didn't head on to Emmaus. Instead, they turned around and went back to Jerusalem to tell the other disciples. And I'm just telling you that the Lord can open the scriptures to you. He can speak a word to you that will bring life to your soul and restore your soul. In James 1:21, it says, "Receive with meekness the implanted word which is able to save your souls." And when we think of souls being saved, a lot of times people automatically think of people being born again. Listen, your spirit is born of God. That's what it means to be born again. But here where he says your soul being saved, he's talking about your soul being healed, your soul being made whole, free, restored. And he says, "Receive with meekness." So you got to be teachable. You got to be willing to take it in. Receive with meekness the engrafted word. It's able to save your soul. And so often God will have a word for you that can bring restoration if you'll receive it. We need to feed our souls the Word of God to keep them whole. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness. He will never lead you in a path of unrighteousness. He will always lead you to do the right thing. He leads us. We cannot find the paths of righteousness on our own. Our righteousness is as filthy rags. We have to follow the shepherd. There is no amount of religion, the religion of man, that will make you righteous. There's no effort of man that will make you righteous. He leads us, and we follow him in the paths of righteousness. He will show us how to do the right thing in every circumstance of life. So often, it is the path of the sinner that brings so much harm on his own soul. In the same way, as we walk the path of righteousness with our shepherd, so often, that is when the restoration and the healing takes place in our soul. We walk that path of righteousness, and the Lord just does a work in our soul. You know, his forgiveness is instant. It is free to us. It has already been paid for. The scripture says that he is ready to forgive. You do not have to do penance. You don't have to pay. You don't have to suffer for a time. He is ready to forgive. But you need to understand that sometimes the effects of sin on the soul are not taken care of instantly. Sometimes it takes time. It's as we walk with the Lord that we are really healed and whole and free from those things of the past. You walk that path of righteousness. Those old hurts that have damaged our soul, they will always be there if you don't forgive. You see, here's one of the examples of the paths of righteousness. Here's a path of righteousness that we have to follow the Lord in. Forgiveness. Because as long as we hold on to those hurts of the past, we will still experience that hurt. We'll still relive it. It's not until we turn it over to the Lord and we truly forgive from the heart that we can finally be free, and there's a healing that comes, a restoration that comes as we forgive. Proverbs 4:18 says, "The path of the righteous is like the light of dawn that shines brighter and brighter until the full day." See, as we go down the path of righteousness, I'm telling you, it just gets better and better. You might have some dark days in your past, whether it's things that you did or things that happened to you. Listen, it doesn't have to determine your future, because as the Lord leads you down a path, the paths of righteousness, the Bible tells us that our path is supposed to get brighter and brighter until the noonday. Amen. And you need to expect that as the shepherd leads you down the path of righteousness. Things are going to go well. You've got brighter days. Your best days are still ahead of you. And so don't let the things that have happened in the past that have hurt you in your soul, don't let the failures of the past, the things that you've done wrong, keep you from what God has for you today and tomorrow. But allow the shepherd to lead you down the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. It is for his glory as we follow the shepherd down the paths of righteousness. It is not so we can say, look at me. It is so we can say, look at him. It is all what he has done, nothing that we have done. Our righteousness is of him. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, for he made him who knew no sin to be sin, so that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Don't leave off the in him. It's in Jesus. It's all the shepherd. See, if we're anything at all, it is because the shepherd is leading us. It's because he's showing us the way. He's the one who has made us righteous. But I got to tell you this morning, we're supposed to live that out in our lives. We're supposed to walk with the shepherd down the path of righteousness. For his name's sake. You see, as a Christian, we bear his name. And we got to live a life that brings glory and honor to him. Jesus said that men would see our good works and glorify our Father in heaven for his name's sake. His name, that name that is above every name, it is holy. And we are to be his holy people. I know that in the current religious culture, this is almost never talked about. But listen to what the scripture says. I want to read this to you in Ephesians 5:3-6. It says, among you, there must not even be a hint of sexual immorality or any kind of impurity or of greed, because these are improper for God's holy people. Nor should there be obscenity, foolish talk, or coarse joking, which are out of place, but rather thanksgiving. For of this you can be sure. No immoral, impure, or greedy person, such a man as an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of such things, God's wrath comes on those who are disobedient. How many of you believe that passage of Scripture? There's about 20 of you. I'm praying for the rest of you. No, I'm serious, because in this culture we live in, people don't even believe in the statements that are made here. This is New Testament. We're God's holy people. And he declares that even now the wrath of God comes on those who are disobedient. Oh, I don't think we believe that. That's what the Bible says. We are to walk this path of righteousness with the Lord. He empowers us. He enables us. He leads us. We need to understand. Don't be deceived with empty words. No, we got to live a life that's worthy of his name. For his name's sake, he leads us in the path of righteousness. Oh, that the name and the cause of Christ not be reproached. I want to tell you something. We all struggle at times to do the right thing. But if we'll allow the shepherd to lead us just one day at a time, one step at a time, we can walk this path of righteousness with him. He'll lead you in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. You see, you might be dealing with some habit, addiction, some pattern. Maybe you're struggling with anger. Whatever it is, let me tell you, get your eyes on the shepherd. Listen to his voice, and he can help you to overcome. He can lead you down that path of righteousness. I believe the Lord wants to restore this morning. He wants to restore our soul. I want you to stand with me. We're going to pray, and I'd like for our prayer partners to come. Father, I thank you that you love us so much. Oh, that you want to care for us. And you see, you know better than we do the damage in our souls, where we need to be restored. And Father, I just pray this morning that you would just show us your grace, your mercy, that your hand be upon us today, and that the Spirit of grace would draw us and do a work in our lives. I pray, Father, for changed lives today. I pray for those who have been bound by the past. Oh, Father, I pray in Jesus' name that today would be their turnaround, their victory. Oh, I thank you, my shepherd, that you are always here to lead us, to guide us, to restore us. Help us today, Lord, how we need you, how we need you. In Jesus' name. Oh, let him restore the joy this morning. Let him restore your hope. Let him restore that carefree spirit of a child. Let him restore to you a heart that is soft and pliable in his hand. Let him restore to you the joy of your salvation. Let him bring healing and wholeness to your soul this morning. I would encourage you this morning that if the Lord is dealing with you, you know there's some areas of your soul, and I want you to understand, we've all been there. If there's some areas of your soul that need to be restored, don't miss this opportunity. Don't walk out of here the same, but you let God do a work in your heart and life today. I want to tell you, you don't have to carry that on your own anymore. The Lord Jesus can give rest for your soul. I believe he wants to change some lives this morning, restoring souls. As always, whatever prayer need you may have come to the service with, we'd be glad to pray with you. But as we take a few moments for prayer and worship, I just encourage you, if you need the shepherd to restore your soul, if you need his help to walk that path of righteousness, you come for prayer this morning. Let him have his way in your life.